It's set. It's on. Okay.
Perfect. Okay. And you just turn it down and turn it on.
Thank you.
You should make sure that it's on.
Did everyone get a lesson? Everyone need a lesson? You need a lesson?
I need one.
That's okay. So when Lauren asked if I would fill in while she was out of town, of course I said yes. I was like, what am I doing? I don't know what to talk about. I'm not real sure. And so it was a long time ago, and I happened to come across this topic, and I thought, you know, that's a really good topic. And so I used some of, you know, the options there, but I didn't use everything that they had listed as well. But that's where I came from, and I did my own study with it. But topic, are you full? And like it says in the beginning, there are lots of words that end in F-U-L, full, that tend to make us full spiritually, hopefully, in our lives that God has given to us to understand the way that we should live. So I wanted to look at some of these listed, and like I said, there are tons more, so many more, that I just didn't think that we would be able to get to as many as I had come up with or had saw. And but you can give me some examples too. Maybe yours might be different than the ones that I have as well. And but first of all, how would you describe the word full? I mean, what would you say is the definition of being full, fullness?
The most that you can be, or the highest form of whatever the fullness.
Yeah. Completeness, whole. You know, that's what I came across. And I was like, you know, am I complete? Am I? And I'm not saying that we will ever be complete. There's always room for improvement and learning. But am I whole in those areas? Am I, or at least trying to strive to be more full in them? And so I wanted to start with cheerful. And let's go to James 5:13, and I'll read that. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. When you read that, and obviously it's just one verse, it's not given the whole content of that, but what do you think of whenever you are singing praises to God? Are we really truthfully being cheerful in that? Definition being happy, I guess, or pleased? Are you singing out of, just because you're singing the words, you know them by heart maybe, or you just singing and you're thinking of something else, are you really being in that praise of for God? Are you singing cheerfully? That's just an example of ways to be cheerful on that. Is there any other things that you can put that applicable into your life of being cheerful?
I think it's cheerful is being a byproduct of all of the blessings that we have, and you know, all of the thankfulness that we should be mobile towards God for the things that we have, not just our material blessings, but our spiritual blessings as well. And if you are truly thankful for those things, cheerfulness is
just a byproduct. Yeah, it's there. Yeah, exactly. And that's whenever I was going through it, and the next one is joyful. I feel like those kind of go hand in hand too. Those can kind of bleed into one another. Is that, you know, is our attitude. Are we cheerful towards those maybe difficult times in our lives, even whenever it can be hard? And that's where we can go to Proverbs.
Amanda?
Yeah.
Before you read that.
Yeah.
Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, they were singing.
Right.
And so even though sometimes when we're in bad situations, it can be made better by singing and giving praise and being thankful or cheerful about the things that God's done for us. We think of being cheerful only and singing praises only when everything's good.
Exactly.
Sometimes the singing brings us cheer to make us work. When we think of the work, like we say, not just playing them because we know them. But when you're thinking about what God has done for us and the songs,
it's just Steve in the bathroom. But yes, even in those down times, doing things like that, such as that, can bring you a little more cheerful, bring more cheer, bring more happiness into your to your life.
We kind of cheerful. I went back and read Job 9. He's discussing, you know, because he's complaining, you know, and not understanding why he's suffering. But yet with his lips he did not, you know, sin. But he said in 27, though I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my sad countenance and be cheerful. I am afraid. And so, you know, even so there are times when we may get down and discouraged, and we want to be cheerful, and so it's something that, and of course, he went and God talked to him, and, you know, he's got understanding.
Right.
And so, and then he was made glad again, you know, but...
he was in a pretty, yes. Really awful
yes,
place.
Yes, and so, you know, we don't need to beat ourselves up because sometimes we fell down. But it is good. The Lord, we can look at the good things and be glad, you know, and that makes us cheerful. Cheerful means to be glad or to be a good cheer, not to be down.
Right. Well, and I mean, even, you don't know everyone's situations at all times. But even being around someone that you may know something about their situation, and you're still having the attitude of gladness and happiness, and you know they're not the negative person. There's something that they have that is keeping them happy, glad, cheerful, and you know it's those people that you see that you know are into God's word and that do love God and are righteous though through that.
If we're cheerful, it reflects in our countenance, and that affects everybody else around
us. Absolutely. Because I really don't want to be around someone who is always negative, always has something negative to say, and you're trying to, you know, lift them up, but nothing seems to be keeping them, you know, happy. But when you're with someone who is truly having the countenance that you said, it does. It's contagious, I guess, in some ways, and you want more of it. And so, you know, just trying to focus on that in my life, you know, a little more. Am I cheerful? Am I glad? Am I happy? And spiritually. But let's go on ahead and move to Proverbs 15. And 13 through 15. Now, when reading this, I'm drawn to Proverbs, in the chapters here, but because it's just a book of wisdom. I mean, there's just so much that you can learn from it. But would someone, Sally, would you be able to read 13 through 15 for me?
Sure. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil.
So, you know, it just has the word cheerful in there, a cheerful heart, and like Nadine said, the countenance of how you are, just... I want to put more of it in my life. I don't want to be that person who is foolish and who is, you know, broken and afflicted. And, you know, but, you know, things come to your life and you can't control some of those things. But you can control how you respond to it, for sure. And like I said a while ago, that the next one, joyful, kind of goes into the same category. Feeling of gladness is kind of the way to describe it. But Psalms 35, let's go to that.
Can we go there, please?
Yeah.
When my mom found out she had stage 4 cancer, my mother was always a joyful and an upbeat, happy person. And even in those moments, and even before she kind of went into the last coma, mom was glad for so many things. So even when things were bad, you can be thankful. You can be cheerful. She was joyful because she was in the Lord. She had a good life. She had family who served the Lord. And, you know, it makes, you can look on that side. You can be going through a really bad time and still have joy or cheer in your heart. And it's like 2 Corinthians 9, for being a cheerful giver. I mean, that's an attitude towards helping the Lord, you know, doing the work of the Lord. And so it's not because everything is just
going good
with us, you know, that we can be cheerful. It's an attitude because of being saved in Christ, being blessed, you know, His grace is sufficient. You know, and that kind of thing.
Right. So, it all boils down to your attitude. How do you want to look upon it? Absolutely. Your attitude. Nadine, could you read that one? I'm sorry, I didn't see you behind her.
And my soul shall rejoice in the Lord, and shall exalt in His salvation.
Exactly. Well, reading this, David was going through a really bad moment. Shouldn't say moment, part of his life. You know, people are trying to kill him, and he's still being joyful. I'm not sure I would be. I don't know that I can say that I would. Being glad. He knew God was with him. He knew what his salvation was through him. But he still chose to be joyful. He still chose to be glad. And I'm sure he still had those moments of sadness. I mean, how couldn't you have been? But he looked for it. He looked for that joy.
I mean, so many of the Psalms are, you know, that one line builds upon another, or they mean the same thing, just saying it in the words. He says, "My soul rejoiced in the Lord. It will exult in His salvation." It was because of the salvation. I'm sure David was not happy about all the things that were going on in his life. But he realized that there was salvation in God, no matter what anybody else does to you. They cannot take that away.
Exactly.
And you should be joyful and thankful for that. Yeah. And I think that's where David was.
Yeah. I agree with you, absolutely. He saw that. He knew that. He trusted it.
In Isaiah 61:10, it says, "I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God. For He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." To know that God is there.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
His salvation.
Exactly. His salvation. And I'm guilty of it. It's like, I forget. I don't understand sometimes the magnitude of it. I don't know if that's the best way to describe it. I forget that is, wow, you know, look what He has given us. And we should most definitely be joyful.
It's like we take it for granted.
That's the better way to describe it, yes. It's taken for granted, absolutely. A lot of us do that.
Well, we were having a discussion with someone just recently, and they are relatively new Christians, and they keep remembering things that they did and wondering, do I have to go back now and try to ask God to forgive me again? Because I didn't remember that when I was baptized.
Right.
And if you don't understand and appreciate that God's grace, through God's grace, Christ's blood washed all their sins away,
right, Not one at a time.
It can take away some of our joy if we're continually dwelling on things we've done in the past.
Right.
We need to look forward to God's work that He's given us here to do today and to what awaits us rather than dwell on the past. Because if you continually think about the things you've done, we're all going to give up.
Right.
Because I don't know what I've done that I don't remember.
Right.
And that's why David, when he prayed, forgive his secret sins. It weren't sins he had done in secret. It was sins that he did not know about. His secret sins were things that maybe he could not remember.
Right.
And yet he trusted God that whatever he had done would be wiped away.
Right. Wow. Yeah, exactly.
Don't you find that the wisdom in Proverbs 17:22 says a joyful heart is good medicine?
Mm-hmm.
And then
I think that's on one of mine. I can't remember where I had it listed, but I think so. Maybe I have it in my own mind or something later.
But go around gloom and doom. It says a broken spirit dries up the bones. Have you ever noticed anyone who's just down on everything? They get sick. David got sick when he was hiding his sin. Until he repented. But if we're going through something and everything, try to look for the good, try to be cheerful, and they're finding more and more that it was medically true that cheer and a good attitude and everything helps you get better.
Yeah, it heals the soul. That's what I have it listed on here, and I did not type it on there. That's what it is. I just now looked. I was like, I know I wrote that somewhere. But yes, it can heal the soul. Absolutely. Good job. Thank you. Anything to add on that?
In the New Testament, we have Philippians, the book that is based on joy. And 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice.
Right. Exactly. Rejoice. And so
David wrote in the Psalms about being joyful for others. In fact, in your Psalm 35, down in 27, number one, up in above that, he talks about his enemies being joyful. We don't need to find ourselves, ha ha, God got them.
Yeah, exactly.
And be joyful for their downfall. But in verse 27, let them shout for joy and rejoice in favor of my vindication. And let them say continually, the Lord be magnified who delights in the prosperity of the servant. And so, to me, and Paul demonstrated, he was joyful because of someone else's dedication to the Lord and service to the Lord and faith and things. So we can be joyful not only because of ourselves, but because of our brethren, our children, or whoever, that are doing right and be glad.
Absolutely. You do. You want to be happy and joyful and for others as well in their lives. I agree. All right. Let's go on down to merciful. How would you describe that, or how would you define merciful while going to Proverbs? Anybody?
Compassionate.
Exactly. That's exactly that's the word I have. Compassionate. Proverbs 11:17. Pat, can you? Are you able to? Okay. Just read that one.
The merciful man does himself good, but the cruel man does himself harm.
Reading this, it's talking obviously about a lot of righteous and the wicked and foolish and ruthless, but a merciful man does himself good. A compassionate person. There's honor in righteousness.
It's interesting that in the footnote there it says on himself good. Literally it's good to his own soul.
Exactly.
So when we're merciful to others, it's good for us. Because the way I think about it is, I want mercy. And so I need to be merciful to others if I want myself.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
So I don't know if it means it does us good eternally or if it's good for our soul that God sees
God us. God sees us, yeah. Maybe it's both.
Matthew 5:7, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Mm-hmm. So they will, you know, it's like forgiveness.
Yeah.
You're merciful, God sees it like that, and you will receive mercy.
Yeah, and like you're saying, it's like you want that, you want mercy from others. We all don't live perfect lives, we know that. But when we see others in their lives, we can sometimes pick away what they need to improve, and sometimes it's just what we reflect in, or what we see in others, we see in ourselves, and so therefore we would think that they should change their ways too. But we want to have mercy, and we hope that God will show us that mercy. And it's, you want to give it, so, I mean, you want it, you need to give it as well. And so are we putting that into our lives in everyday situations? Trying to understand the perspective of where other people may be coming from. We don't know everyone's situations in their lives. But we can try. We can try to understand if they let us. But looking in Titus 3:5, real quick. I found it after when I was going back to study and just. Titus 3:5, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. How does he give his mercy? I mean, there's another one. Go over to this. I don't know if I listed this. Psalms 86:15. Did I list that? I'm sorry if I didn't. Melissa, when you get there, could you read that for me?
"But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth."
So how does he show his mercy? With abundant mercy, with abundant grace. I can't say that I have an abundance. Wish I did more, and that's where I need to work on. That's kind of where this is being helpful, being merciful, slow to anger. I'm sure we can all have a moment where we hear, see, or in a situation, and we can get real mad real quickly, or don't agree with, or don't fully try to think about the situation or process it, and we're quick to anger. But God has it. He's slow to anger, thankfully.
Jesus made that point in Matthew 18 about the rich slave. You know, it's talking about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And this is the debt. Well, if God forgives us our debt, we don't deserve it, like passage in Mark 3. He got onto the slave. In fact, he condemned the slave because he did not forgive, have mercy on his fellow slave. Brother, or whatever, and forgive them. So it turns into action. Mm-hmm. We just can't have compassion, or we just can't have mercy without doing something.
Right.
Matthew 25 talks about all the things that compassion will cause us to do, and if we don't do it, Jesus says, "You haven't done it to me."
Yeah, I'm sure all of us can right now think of something that we probably need to show more mercy in, situation with a specific person, maybe, or you know, could be family, friends. Anyone, you know, that you know. So.
If we're not careful, it's me. I don't know all the situation, and I'm quick to, instead of being merciful, know what they ought to do to fix the situation.
Make judgments where.
Yeah. Instead of just being merciful and not realizing, I really don't understand maybe what they're going through. And sometimes you may know some of the situation, but just because you know a little of the situation doesn't mean you see the whole picture.
Right. That's where we have to leave a lot of that in God's hands that we keep on, I mean, we think we know and we want to make judgment and it's, we don't. We just don't. And trying to give it over to Him is sometimes one of the most difficult things in our lives, whatever it may be. So showing mercy, that's something I pray for, you know, every time. Give me that mercy, please. You know, I don't deserve it whatsoever, obviously. But I hope you have, He has it for me. All right. Let's go on to the next one, helpful. Turn into Acts 20:35. How would you describe or define helpful? When you think of it. I thought of relief, aid, assistance. Linda, can you read Acts 20:35?
In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that He Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
I mean, that's a pretty well-known statement a lot of people say, but are we putting it into action? Are we really being helpful in our everyday lives spiritually? This is where Paul's preaching, and I don't think he was supposed to have left, but he stayed longer. But how he took care of himself. He didn't ask for them to help him. He took care of himself and others that were with him during this. And so even though they may not ask for help, we can... Now, fairly recently, I think we discussed this in a lesson. I can't remember who was teaching it about even whenever we... They didn't ask for help. They didn't ask me for help. How else can you help someone? How can you be helpful? How can you assist somebody?
I think this is one of the areas, like you were just saying before, there's numerous cases we can think of that we could have been more helpful or provided help to someone.
Right.
Just, you know, made more opportunity.
Right. Exactly.
He's talking to the elders here from Ephesus, and, you know, he's commending them to their work and, you know, helpful. He didn't covet the money. He worked hard in doing that. But he's trying to get them to understand, help the weak. You do your work as an elk.
Right.
You know. This is talking about weak in spiritual things, you know. And so he commends them to the grace of God, to the Word of God. And so they're to use that Word of God to help. And he said up above that, that I did not, show him everything, but he mm-hmm. said that he didn't cease to admonish each one with tears. He didn't cease. It was all the time. He didn't give up.
Right.
And it was a constant thing on him to keep preaching and teaching and admonishing. And so this is what he's encouraging mm-hmm. the elders to do.
Exactly.
And so we can learn from that too. You know, we can be helpful by showing someone God's Word.
Absolutely.
And by admonishing if they knew it,
right,
or whatever. You know, we're not elders, but we're God's children, and we need to give up people who don't have it.
Absolutely.
And help each other if we don't know each other.
Right.
We're not observant.
Exactly.
We're in our own little world, come in, sit on our little pew, mm-hmm. amen, and we're out of here.
Right.
And never have any interactions through the week with one another. Then we're not going to know when someone needs something spiritually. Or even physically.
And sometimes, like you said, just getting to know them is a big deal. They're, you know, we can walk past someone easily, but sometimes just standing there and just having just a short conversation sometimes, you don't know how helpful that can be to some people that may not, you know, be very vocal or very talkative, but maybe that's what they needed, was you to start the conversation. and they just needed to talk about anything. Could be the weather, but that can be helpful in someone's soul. It's like, you know, someone is notices me. Someone does notice, even though I'm here and I may not say much. It's helpful. In other ways, obviously, the typical, you know, helping of others is taking a meal to them when they may need it, you know, having to take them to the doctor appointments or calling them, checking up on them. You know, mine at this point sometimes, or even more so whenever mine were littler, is someone just watching my kids while I needed to go to a doctor's appointment myself, or, you know, whatever it may have been. That was just very helpful. I know that there's a lot who move, and so just helping someone move, that doesn't sound very fun at all. Most times it's not. But it's very helpful. You know, those are just some scenarios that I've thought about of how can we be more helpful physically, but also the more spiritual. How am I being helpful spiritually? Good. I wrote Matthew 5:16. I know I went over it, but I can't remember exactly what it said. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So people see it. People see that you're being helpful. Not that you do it to show, hopefully, but people do notice it. And therefore, it may help someone else one day in their spiritual life. Next one, prayerful. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Elizabeth, can you read that?
Pray without ceasing.
Yeah. I can't say that that is me all the time at all. I'm guilty of that. But it says those are things that we should do. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. I need to do that. I need to do that. But also when we do pray, whenever I think of prayer, I think of ask. But there's also other things that you can do in those prayers, of course. Thanking Him, praising Him, glorifying Him. But, you know, typically, prayers are asking. We're asking. And, when we do pray, whether it's just before a meal or just sitting in our car, are we thoughtful in that prayer? Are we sincere in that prayer? Are we really thinking about when we pray? Are we just going through the motion because it's time to eat and we just say the same prayer? Or whatever it may be, situation-wise. Sometimes I find myself that they are not as thoughtful as they should be. And I need to work on that myself.
Prayer is part of the armor of God in Ephesians 6.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I notice even more so, and maybe y'all do too, but when I find myself being more prayerful, being truly, like, you know, being thoughtful in it and being sincere and being there, I don't know how else to say it, but I find more calmness in stressful situations or anxiety that I might have been having about a situation. Whenever I'm not praying, I can definitely tell a difference in the chaos in my life. I don't know if that's just me noticing it because I'm being more thoughtful with it, but there's just, yeah.
The difference from what you're talking about, we pray or we say prayer.
Right.
When we're really praying, we realize that we are talking to God and that He is listening to us. And it will make me more mindful not only to make my request, but to be thankful for the request that He has answered.
Right.
But if I'm just saying prayer, you know, I feel like, okay, I got to pray. It's time to go to bed, time to pray. Time to get up, time to pray. But if you're not careful, with me sometimes I'm thinking about what's going on in the day, what I've got to get done, and it's easy to just say prayer rather than actually praying and talking to God.
Right. I mean, you're talking to God. And I, once again, take advantage of that. I don't take appreciation sometimes that that's what I'm doing. That is what I'm doing.
Well, when we're praying and we're asking God or thanking God, we're acknowledging that we're putting it in God's hands.
Exactly.
And we're going to let Him take care of it, not...
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm sure all of us have prayed for something and we've not gotten it. He had a different plan, obviously. But also, He wants us to pray for those things that He knows He's not going to answer the way that we want them to go. Because He wants us to know that we have to trust Him, that He's going to take care of it. You know?
Like Paul prayed three times for the thorn in the flesh to be removed, and God said no. But he didn't sulk and go off and say, I'm not going to preach another word, or God doesn't love me, and that kind of thing. Where we might be guilty of that, if not in words, sometimes in attitude. But like Elizabeth says, you've got to have that faith and that acknowledgement that it is in God's hands, and He knows best. He knows better than anything, and He knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then Paul had enough sense and determination to do it. He said, maybe it was for my good. It was for his good, so that he wouldn't glorify himself.
We don't always see that immediately. Sometimes we notice it. Sometimes we don't ever know why things were not done the way that we should have expected it to happen. And his plan was different. But there's a reason. I know it's sometimes not always the best explanation, but there's a reason, and we want to trust him that he has this. He's got this. He knows what's going on. What's your attitude in that prayer? Are you? I know hearing people sometimes say, I've given it over to God, but I'm not sure that they fully have. I've been guilty, of saying that. I'm just going to give it to God, but I'm not. I can guarantee you I didn't fully give it to him. Let's look at James, maybe 5:16, James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Others can pray for you. Let them know what you need. We do that all the time. We make a note of those that we need to pray for. And hopefully that we are praying for those. And let's go on to Matthew 21:22. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. I think that's where I feel like, you have to trust that God will take care of the situation. And like I said earlier, it may not be the same situation that you have in mind of how it should go. But you got to trust that He knows what He's doing. And continue to pray for it. And the answer, as we've said, could always be no. Or not now. Okay, that's kind of where I wanted to finish with the more positive things. But we can also fill our lives with negative fullness and indulge in the wrong things. And so here's just a few that we could go to avoid. So the first one I have listed is boastful. Going to Romans 1:30, what would you define boastful as? How would you describe? When you think of boastful, what do you think of?
Pride.
Prideful. Proud. Bragging. That's exactly right. Romans 1:30. Sandra, will you read that one?
Backbiters, haters, violent, proud, boasters,
inventors
of evil things,
disobedient. Okay. So right above that and right below that, there's still a lot going on there. Those are certainly things that are not very good to have in your life. Characteristics, I mean, to be boastful and to be, I mean, you connect it with another one. It's like, man, I really don't want to be that person. That's not how I want to be. And I think that there's a difference between having some pride. You know, there's the quality of a good pride, but it goes into your attitude and your thoughts of how you are being boastful, bragging. I mean, I really sometimes don't want to listen to someone sit there bragging about everything that's going on and how things are, you know. Not that I'm not happy and joyful for some people. You know, I'm glad that things, but it's the bragging part, attitude.
Behind why they're telling you all this.
Exactly.
Stuff. Yeah. So many times, it's because you made look what I have done.
Exactly. Make them feel better about themselves.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just, I have to be very, very mindful that I'm not doing the same thing. I mean, I think that I know that I've been guilty of that. But, being a one-upper is what I like to call it sometimes. It's just, well, you know, whatever. Y'all know who I'm talking. Not who, but those type of people, those attitudes. And make sure that I'm not putting that into my life as much as I can. Being proud, but not being boastful.
I think it's interesting there in verse 28. Holy Spirit calls it what it is, a depraved mind, mm-hmm. doing things which are not mm-hmm. proper. And that's one of the lists of the depraved mind. We don't want to think that we've got a
right.
depraved mind.
Right.
And, I mean, we would never, you know, be inventors of evil, but...
I mean, it's listed with murderers, and, you know, it's a pretty strong word to put into your life. Let's go on down to forgetful. Next one. Galatians 1:6-9. As we go there, when you think of forgetfulness, how would you define forgetful?
Not remembering.
Neglect. As simple as, you know, we can't. There are times, yes, we are forgetful. Linda, did you? You just read, yes. Carol, can you read that 6-9?
I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him to call you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to destroy the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed.
So, do we forget his word so quickly? And if we're not into it, we can absolutely forget. You know, it's you don't use it, you lose it type thing. And we can be forgetful in neglecting studying His Word and making sure that we are following how He wants us to be, and leads to the sin that we can put into our life. go to Hebrews 13, 2 and 6. Susan, can you read that one? Well, whichever one wants to.
2 and 6.
Do not forget to imitate strangers, for by doing so you have, for by so doing you have unwittingly entertained strangers. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear.
I meant to add into, like, I think part of 5, but we know that he says, I will never forsake you. I will never desert you. I can't say that about myself for others. And that's really sad to forget others and to be neglectful. Just in the example of just hospitality, you don't know. I mean, I know that's just one verse, but showing hospitality, not to forget to open your attitude and heart and home. Sometimes, maybe we don't want to be neglectful to those that may need it.
Amanda.
Yes, ma'am.
In 2 Peter 1, Peter's talking about being partakers by nature, and he says if we don't add these things and make this a part of our lives, we'll be short-sighted even in alignment, and we will forget how we've been cleansed from our old sin.
Yes, exactly. You know, we don't, like, we take advantage of it, or we don't appreciate it, and we forget how important it is. Wow.
I think in our circumstances in this country, we all are guilty of, not that we love money, you know, that we have greed to the point, but it can, maybe the Lord can call it that. If we, Matthew 6 talks about, you know, pursuing those things instead of putting the kingdom of God first. So we need to realize, just from this end of passage that you just read, that the Lord does provide, you know, seek his kingdom first, and these things will be added to you. Sometimes we forget that, and we go and we, you know, build bigger barns.
Yeah.
And not reach for God.
Well, and I think that kind of goes into the next one of lustful, is that, you know, we put other things, other temptations into our lives that we don't think that are necessarily bad, but it can become this need, this want, this desire, and therefore we forget. And, you know, it's just a big ball that kind of falls all together. You know, lustful listed, I mean, I'm just going to go on and down into it. In Romans 13:13, let me run go there real quick. Do not put it in your everyday life. It's anything that habit forming, whatever it may be, it makes a difference to put God's word in your everyday life. And when you don't, you're forgetful, and therefore there's sin there. But Romans 13:13-14, where am I at? Susan Hendricks, will you read that part?
Let us behave properly as in the day. Not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts.
Yeah. So there's more sinful behaviors listed there that are associated with this lustful. We may not necessarily be having to deal with some of these like the sexual, you know, promiscuity, but, you know, our children are exposed to it as they get older. Maybe not our children, our grandchildren, or anyone in our lives, children in our lives, those that are younger. And sometimes that conversation has to be discussed and recognize that, you know, these temptations can be very overwhelming, and you know, you got to put God's word and don't forget it, and recognize that these are sins. These are sins, and are we ready for it? Well, I'm sure we can list a. Oh, I didn't realize the time. We can list a lot more here. Like I said, this is just a short one-day thing. But I'm sure coming to mind as you go through this, you think of other parts of your life that maybe you need to be more full of and spiritually driven, and those that you don't need to be as full of. So I just thought this was a good lesson to recognize me personally, and so hopefully it was beneficial to others.